We welcome you to the preaching service out of the Scotts Fort Christian Church. I'm Otis Clark, the minister, and we're so pleased to have you sharing and worshiping with us. If you have been listening to the podcast, you know that starting June the 11th through the end of July, we were praying for 8 decisions for the Lord and His church. And last Lord's Day, we rejoiced as a fine young man who is a sophomore in high school came to acknowledge his faith in Christ and to be baptized into Him. And throughout these podcasts, we have been talking about bringing people to Christ, the importance of this most important decision, and that is the question that Pilate had before him: what shall I then do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? All of us know that some schools have already returned. Their students have returned, and this week even a whole lot more will be. And I'm sure in those respective school systems there are many athletic events, and I'm sure that everyone is working hard, whether it's playing soccer or whatever it might be, football, that they're hoping that they can have victorious and have many victories in the coming school year. And so that brings me to what we want to talk about this morning, and that is how to have a victorious church, how that we can be everything that we can be for our Lord. If you are a student of the Bible, you know already that the book of Nehemiah is a great, great book in the Old Testament. And in the book of Nehemiah, we find it's a book that is full of lessons on how to have a victorious church. You see, friends, it's important that from many standpoints that we seek to have a victorious church, because when Christ comes again, we know that He will take the church, the body of Christ. Of course, He is the groom, and He will take the body of Christ, the church, home with Him. And so when today, when we look at the book of Nehemiah, we notice a number of things that, and I mentioned these to you, is that, first of all, just a little bit of history. When we think about the different empires, the different ones who were in power, who took Jerusalem captive and all, we go back to the year like 721 B.C. before Christ, and that's when we read about the Assyrian power and the destruction that they brought to Jerusalem. Also in 586, the destruction brought on by the Babylonians. And what we're dealing with here in the book of Nehemiah is the people coming back to Jerusalem and the rebuilding of the walls. And we know at that time, back, like I said, in 586, 587 B.C., there was the Babylonian captivity. Xerxes was receptive, as we read the book, to Nehemiah's plea to return. And so the Jews had been back in Jerusalem about 100 years, but had done nothing. They had lost their glory. They had forgot who they were. They were scattered. They were beaten. And they were scared. And one of the things that we notice that is so, so important, that Nehemiah was the man of the hour. And friends, as we share this message, I point out to you that it may very well be that that if you will only open up your heart and life to the leading of the Holy Spirit, that you may be the man of the hour for a specific task that our Lord wants to get done. And so Nehemiah and the book of Nehemiah is filled with many and many a powerful lesson on how to, as a member of the body of Christ, to be a part of a victorious church. Now, what I will be doing as we share the message this morning is that I will be reading portions from the first chapter, the second chapter, the third chapter, the fourth chapter, the sixth chapter, and then the eighth chapter. And great teachings. And as Nehemiah led the rebuilding of the walls. And one of the things that we notice that is so powerful, first and foremost, is that Nehemiah was a burdened man. When we look in chapter 1, and I read these words, and let's listen if you will, it says that he questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. And they said to me, as we read in Nehemiah 1:3, those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. And then he says in verse 4, and Nehemiah talking, he said, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And listen to what he said. Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins of the Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands and the decrees and the laws that you gave your servant Moses. And so he says, remember the instructions you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. And what is very profound here is that Nehemiah had an understanding about what was important in life. And in the book of Nehemiah, as I read the words early on, it says that the wall is broken down and so forth. And then in verse 4, it says, I sat down and wept. Friends, he was very concerned about his people. He was very concerned about what was going on. And the Bible, as I just read, says that I sat down and I wept. Friends, as we look at the condition of our world, if we realize some of the awful things which are happening, and really think about what God has done for us through his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, that his Son gave his all. He died for you as you're listening to this podcast. He was buried and rose again, so that you and I and all of us could have the hope of eternal life. And so Nehemiah realized that it was terrible what was going on. As I said just a moment ago, the people after the Babylonians and they being a victim of the Babylonians, they were scattered and they were beaten and they were scarred. And so it says the powerful words that Nehemiah wept. Friends, I believe it was somewhere I was reading this week, and the comment was made in talking about life, have we gotten to the place that we have stopped hating sin? Now, what am I saying here, friends? Have we warmed up to sin so much that we have gotten to the place that we no longer hate it? And we know as we look at this first chapter of the book of Nehemiah that he was a burdened man, and he wept, as we said, and that he prayed and he begged and confessed, and he was in much anguish. As a matter of fact, if you look at the 11th verse of that first chapter, he says, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. And friends, we need, if we're going to be what God wants us to be, we have to look and see that there is much much, much, much in our world. That is a behavior that is totally alien and totally unacceptable by our Heavenly Father. And so we notice that God answers him. We'll see a little bit later, but I'll go ahead and mention, you know, that his desire was to rebuild the wall and bring the people back into a good position. And just as God answers, as we will see as we go along, we know, and we'll talk more about this in a moment, that the wall was built in 52 days. And we need to see that we need to hope and pray, work to where that we can see a turnaround in the morals in this great land, the United States of America. Dr. Billy Graham once said, as goes the home, so goes the church. So goes the community, so goes the schools, so go the businesses, and on we can go. And we know today that there is much that has to burden the heart of our Lord. We know that in reading in the book of Acts, that probably this is when Paul was at his greatest point in life, when he preached the sermon on Mars Hill. I had the privilege years ago to that very place and tried to imagine Paul standing there and bringing this great sermon. And it says in the 17th chapter in verse 16, this is where it is recorded about his message there in Athens, and he was distressed to see the city full of idols. Realistically, friends, we live in a world that even this day, who is where many idols, they don't realize it, but many things have become their idol over than worshiping the true God. And we know also in Romans, the 9th chapter, verses 1 and 2, that Paul anguished, it says in the 9th chapter, that he anguished over Israel. And then also in the 10th chapter, he says, my heart's desire and prayer, and in essence, and I'm paraphrasing, that lives would be turned around. And then as we continue to read in the book of Nehemiah, we come to the second chapter, and this is where we have the interview with the king. And let me read just a couple of verses here, and this is what it says. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very afraid, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? And you continue to read, and this is where that we share. And he notices in verses 17 and 19 in that particular chapter, we notice some important words about what took place. And I read starting in verse 17, then I said to them, you see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. And then you walk on down and you notice the tremendous promise. And if you have a Bible for you, but if you don't, you might want to jot down Nehemiah 2:20 and notice what is being said. And I answer them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right in it. And so he was talking to those who will see in time were those who stood in opposition to what was going on. And friends, we need to see, as we look into chapter 3, continue to walk through the book, is we read about the builders of the wall. And it's very, very profound. We notice that that all the men worked, the women worked too. If we're going to have a victorious work for Christ, we have got to have people, as I said just a moment ago, who realize that we have troubles in this world, that we have things as they ought not to be. And we understand that, as it says in this, at the end of the second chapter a while ago, as I said, for the God of heaven will give us success. But also we notice, as it says in verse 12 of that third chapter, that concerning those who were responding to the call of Nehemiah to rebuild the walls. And notice it says, they repaired the next section with the help of his daughters. Not only were men involved, but women were involved, because to restore the city of Jerusalem, to rebuild the walls, it was going to take everyone. You know, we read in the Bible where it says, faith without works is dead. And many of surveys even been done recently about people and how they feel about the work of the church and the work of Christ. And many of them, most of them, say that they do believe. But it's one thing to have faith, and it's a totally different thing to have faith with works. And as we said just a second ago, that faith without works is dead. And so when we look at what was transpiring and the responses that people were making in order that the walls could be rebuilt, that the city of Jerusalem could be restored, is that all men and women. But also we notice in reading in that third chapter that there were some who wouldn't work. And that's still true today. Look at verse 5 in that third chapter of the book of Nehemiah. But it says in reading the last part of verse 5, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. That's the way it is. And friends, it's awfully disheartening. I'm not asking for self-pity. We pray and pray for the Lord's church, the Lord's body, because we believe with all of our heart that faith in Jesus Christ, people believing in Jesus Christ, people doing what they ought to do and working for him, is the answer to the ills, the heartaches, and the troubles in this world of ours. And as we read just a second ago there in the third chapter, and it said some of them would not work, some would not help, and that is true today. But you see, friends, what we must realize is that great churches are built on involvement. There's a great teaching over in the book of Ephesians, and in the fourth chapter, of course, all of us know that's the book chapter and talks about oneness. And in the 16th verse of the fourth chapter in the book of Ephesians, I want to read these words, and this is what it says: from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And I cannot think of any more important work. There are children to be taught. There are Sunday school classes to be taught to teach people the greatest, listen to me, the greatest truths in all the world. The fields are white unto harvest, and the laborers are few. And so we need to see, as Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus and talked about the whole body and the people working together, the whole body joined and builds itself up in the love for each other, and also as each one does his part. Oh, what a different world we could have. Nehemiah was leading in a very important time, leading in a tremendous project. And so he points out the importance of everyone being involved. And so as we continue to read and go on into the fourth chapter, we read about the opposition of the people. Like, for instance, in verse 1 of that fourth chapter, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? How can they bring the stones back to life from these heaps of rubble, burned as they are? And you continue to read, and we notice as you go down to verse 6, for the people worked with all of their heart. Through the years, my years in the ministry, I've had people wring their hands, people to say, what in the world are we going to do? What in the world are we going to do? Many, many times, friends, and I don't mean to sound simplistic, but it's unreal what can happen when people have a mind to work. And Nehemiah was so successful in bringing people to a place where that they could, where the people worked with all of their heart. That's a great verse in Nehemiah 4 and 5. For the people worked with all of their heart. Many, many times we are expecting great things and we fail to realize what it takes. It takes prayer and prayer and hard work. And God honors our prayer. There's no question about it. And so, as we look at it, what do we do when we run into opposition? Needless to say, we can start back in the book of Genesis and walk our way through the whole Bible. Noah preached for 120 years. The Holy Book tells us he never had a single convert. We can read over and over again about many who shared in disappointments. And we notice as we look in verses 1 through 3, just as we read a while ago, the question was asked by those who were in opposition to the rebuilding of the wall. Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned and as they are? And then we read about the prayer in verse 4, where it says, hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight. For they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. You see, friends, that as we read about when the church was established on the day of Pentecost, and we read in the book of Acts, we must understand that God intended for his body, his churches, to grow. As we have shared about our theme, and that is, and still is in effect, bringing people to Christ. And as you seek to work, needless to say, you're going to find those who will hurl insults. You'll find those who really will be very discouraging in what they have to say. And so we have to continue to realize that God is with us and that he will give us his power. And so, as I said a while ago, is that those great words, the people work with all of their hearts. That's how you have a victorious church. There's no magic wand to wave. Nothing in that bracket is that we must be like the people Nehemiah was leading, and he brought them to the place where they had a mind to work. And then in verse 20 of that fourth chapter, such a powerful verse, and I want to read that again, is that wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for you. Now listen to me, people. If your heart is right, you're seeking to do things the way God has asked you to do them, you've given your heart and your life to him, he will bless and reward your efforts. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet in the book of Nehemiah, join us there. Our God will fight for us. Fantastic verse. And then we know, as we march on over to the sixth chapter, we read about the temple, about the walls, beg your pardon, being rebuilt. And in verse 15 and 16 of that sixth chapter, let me read the words, powerful words, about the fact that they were rebuilding the wall. In verse 15 it says, so the wall was completed on the 25th of Elah in 52 days. There was opposition. We know we read about it more in the 16th verse. When all of our enemies heard this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and they lost their confidence because they realized that this work, listen, had been done with the help of our God. Friends, we know when reading the Bible, it talks about if we do not have vision, we that we perish. And so we know that Nehemiah had a great vision. He helped others to catch the vision of to restoring Jerusalem, rebuilding the walls around the city, and bringing it back to its beauty. And so it was finished, unbelievably, in 52 days. It was the work of God. And my friends, there's so much to be said that when we undertake things for our Lord, that we understand we have to hang in there. And so in verse 1 of the 6th chapter, it said, when word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of the enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not let the doors of the gate, I had not set the doors in the gate. And Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. He said, come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. And so what we see here is that Nehemiah had a tremendous vision. He helped people catch the vision. And the thing that is beautiful is the victories which were won. People were restored. People were enlightened. People came to the place where they rejoiced with joy. For instance, moving on over to the 8th chapter, it's very interesting what it says about the joy that came to the people. Let me read verses 9 and 10. And Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And all of us know that beautiful chorus. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And friends, we need to realize, just like Nehemiah did, that we're doing a great work. And we want to do a great work. We want to give the very best we can to Christ. And we need to realize, I'll just walk over these points again very quickly. You've got to have a burden. You've got to say, listen, we can have a better America. We can have a better land in which we're living. Just as Nehemiah wept, really, we should weep when we see the many, many things that are happening that we know that has to grieve the heart of our Lord. And so we know that that God is with us if we seek to follow His teachings, to be faithful to His word. Friends, He will bless us. He will bless our efforts, and He will give us blessing upon blessing. And we need to see all of these things and how that God will fight for us, how He will be with us, and He would tell us not to grow weary and well-doing, for in due time we shall reap if we faint not. Yes, Father, we pray today that You will give us victorious churches. Churches who realize that, as was said of Nehemiah, that are the heaven God, the God of heaven will give us success, the God of heaven will fight for us, and the God of heaven will bless our lives. Let us people realize the importance of seeking to do what God would have us to do so that we can have a better land in which to live. Father, we thank You for this day, and help us, Lord, to realize the many lessons, if You would, nudgings that we can learn from Nehemiah, because they're so powerful. And if we would just realize that we've got a great work and we have got to stick to that vision. Give us strength and give us guidance. In the Master's name we pray. Amen.